Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navati Tamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhagavad Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 2 Shaktis naturally coexist with Brahman. Sarva Sambhadini, page 86. Bhagavan with qualities is not some material imposition on Brahman. In this section, dealing with the form of the Lord arising from his complete sarup, the conclusions of Vedanta, Upanishads, and Brahma Sutras will be considered till Anucheda 26. Okay, so this is Anucheda 9. Vritti. The Lord is defined as nirguna, having no material form, in the scriptures. But the Advaitavadis take this to mean that the Lord can't have a form. In order to clarify this point, Srila Jiva Goswami first establishes that Lord has form by quoting from various Shrutis. The Vedas state that the Lord is without form. Astulam ananu. He has no form and is not a small particle, right? Because he's unlimited, we're limited, right? That's the point. So the difficulty comes up is that they're taking the limited nature of themselves, of the jivas, and imposing that on Brahman, right? Because unlimited, how can it be? Means Maya is limited, right? Because that's what defines, you know, time and space and all these kind of things here. So then the difficulty comes up is that if you have unlimited and you have something limited, then if you try to impose something limited on something unlimited, it'll have no effect. But if you put something that's limited on something infinitesimal, it has effect. So we're affected by Maya because we're infinitesimal. Right? But Krishna being infinite, then he can't be covered by Maya. Right? It's not big enough. Does that make sense? Yeah, so the difficulty is they're just projecting their own. That's why he says it's not an imposition. Because they're taking their own position and imposing that on Brahman. Why would you want to do that? Because they want to be Brahman. So what works for them, they say that's what has to work for Brahman. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. Is they're taking this position that they're going to enjoy the Lord. So they enjoy the position of speculation. They enjoy the idea that they'll be the Lord. You know, these kind of aspects. That's their enjoyment. So that's the difficulty. Because, see, Krishna is not in the position of being enjoyed. He's the enjoyer. Right? So the difficulty comes up is that because of their improper mentality, this enjoying spirit, they come up with this philosophy. Because sometimes we ask, how do they come up with it? It's because they want to enjoy the Lord. That's all. Does that make sense? But for them to be the Lord, right, they have to get out of Maya. Right? Having gotten out of Maya, then you have to have that then they're on Brahman, which is beyond Maya. But at the same time, since they're going to become Brahman, then they don't want to remain infinitesimal. So they want to become unlimited. Then they have to say that the unlimited is covered by Maya. Which doesn't make any sense because Brahman can't be covered by Maya. It's unlimited, how it will. Right? So, and is not a small particle, right? Because that's us. We're the small particle. Without hands and feet, he moves and receives. Without eyes, he sees. Without ears, he hears. He knows the universe, and no one knows him. He is called the Great, Original Purusha, Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.9. Right, so we see as he's doing all the activities, all the different things, but it says that he doesn't have any of these things. Right? So then how does that work? That means he being transcendental, his application of the senses must also be transcendental. So then a transcendental form will be there. By establishing that the Lord has Swarup Shakti in order to see and hear, Scripture shows that He has a form. That light which shines above heaven, higher than everything in the highest worlds, beyond which there are no other worlds, is the same light which is within man. Chandogya Upanishad 3.13.7. Jyoti or light means Brahman, since that is the subject of the section. Proved by the author of the sutras, since that Brahman emanates light, it proves that Brahman has form. Because you have to have substance, in other words, to emanate light. Right? It means, in other words, your light is there, so that is the light is the Shakti. So that means there must be Shaktiman. That aspect must be there. Yes?
Right, why Shrutis use words that can be, can have many meanings, like interpreted in different meanings, like this verse could be interpreted, on many levels. Why would they use that?
Because people want all those levels. Because there's five levels of consciousness. People want these five. I mean, the material world is specifically four. They're not really interested in the five. We have to convince them about the five.
Yeah.
So if you use any of the four, it'll make sense to any living entity. And depending upon the modes, then they will specifically approve of, one or another. And all of them will be surprised by the fifth level of consciousness, because that will go beyond the logic. So they'll use material logic on these first four, and it will work for them. Right? Because if you're working within material, then you judge everything by the material situation. And so that'll work nicely, because with the senses, the intelligence, you can function. But when you're dealing with transcendence, that's beyond the scope of the material. And so what it's trying to do is you can't use the material to judge. Because if you say he has no eyes but he sees, then how is that happening? Because we know seeing happens through the sense of the eye, right? Or through senses, at least. So the point is that therefore there must be senses. If he doesn't have material senses and he sees, so there must be spiritual senses. So they're trying to establish he has no material senses. Otherwise, even if you say it's more straightforward, but then in the modern concept of God's a person, does he have a form? No. So that's the thing, is that they can't deal with these things. So you have to remove that there's a material concept. Because they'll look at it that God does things because why we do it, rather than we have qualities because of him. So everybody should get a refrigerator. Yeah? No.
At least AC.
Huh?
At least AC.
Oh, AC. That'll help. Yeah. Is that help?
Yeah.
Because the people, it would be like, let's say you have the example of Srila Prabhupada. Someone goes to him, they want a divorce. And the mentality is such that if Prabhupada says yes, they'll follow Prabhupada's order.
Yeah.
Right? But if he said no, they would divorce anyway.
Right.
So then Prabhupada said yes. So it's not a different standard. It's still the same standard. It's that you have to surrender and follow the order of Guru. Right? The principle stays the same. The detail changes. Right? Does that make sense? But the principle remains intact. So the point is that in the Vedas, they leave the principle intact. They change the detail according to what people will appreciate. because someone's more into sense gratification, therefore then these scriptures then explain how sense gratification works, because it is Krishna's laws, how the senses and sense objects function. You know, what modes they're under, so therefore how they'll function. So then that way you have faith in the Veda, because then one day you might come across someone who'll explain the proper attitude of the Veda. You know, it's just like Maharaj Prachina Barhishat. So, because he follows Veda, then he will invite Narad Muni. If he didn't follow the Veda, would he invite? No. So that's the thing. At least he's following and accepting, but he's only on the platform of Karmakanda. He didn't even know there was anything else, because he only associated with Karmakanda Brahmins. But hearing from Narada, then because he accepts sadhus, he accepts the authority of scripture, he accepts that there's a sadhana and all that, there's an explanation for all these things. Therefore, then he was able to appreciate.
Does that make sense?
So that's the whole idea of the Veda. Now, something like this will take a long time. But that's why you have the devotional process, which is the shortcut. And so that is then by association with devotees. So that's why the Sankirtan movement is about going out, and people know it's devotees and they're associating with devotees. Right? As much as you can do that. Because that will hurry up the process. Otherwise, yeah, these other things will go a long time. So we can do a yoga thing like this. And, you know, people think it's nice. But then when they hear about the big guy from India with the beard and all that, and he's doing the yoga stuff, then that'll be way better than whatever we're going to do. You know, so much sense. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that we want to move things forward at a more quick pace, because especially in this age, there is no connection with this parampara. The other ages, they had the connection with the paramparas. They always understood that that's how knowledge works. But in this age, no one thinks that that's how it works. You just go out, see it yourself, and haribol, there it is. Right? So we have to make, that's what Prabhupada said, he made our fortune. Otherwise, then, you know, we weren't probably in a very good situation before coming in contact with Krishna. Is that for me?
Yeah. Also, in Canto 11, we study that in the words of Vedas, Krishna is hidden because he likes to be hidden. That is the reason why only the acharya can explain what is the true import of the Vedas.
Okay. Yeah. She's saying the point that Krishna likes to be hidden, and then the devotees will explain how it's Krishna. Mm-hmm. Like that. So then it also becomes personal. So it's not just you and the scriptures, you and him directly. So it's you have a connection with Krishna through the devotees. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that also has the aspect. From the usage of the same word in Vachayvyam Jyoti Shaste, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.35. And Mano Jyotir Jushatam, Taittiriya Brahmana 1633. The word light does not refer to the light that we see with the material eye. It is the source of illumination in light itself. Thus, light refers to Brahman, a conscious entity, since the Lord illuminates all things. Though he has illumination, since it is part of his sarup, in order to prove that light refers to Brahman, other shrutis are given. But say the light, it means Brahman, right? So you can see that it's talking there. But if there's light, that means there must be a substance that's producing the light. There the sun does not shine, nor do the moon and stars shine. There lightning does not flash, what to speak of fire. Everything shines in obedience to he who shines. Katha Upanishad 2:5-15. Right, so here it means he shines, and then he's inspiring everybody else to shine. Does that make sense? Yeah? Means that nothing else is shining except from the Lord. Yes.
It's like the Gayatri mantra.
Yes, yes. Yes. So it's that it's they're all through his potency, then they're all shining. And in obedience to him. Right? Because otherwise, it's like, you know, that, yeah, things wouldn't necessarily work. Like, it's like if there's a reaction we see, we do something. But if there would be no reaction and no one would care, we may or may not be involved in so many things. Is that something? Yeah. Is that, yeah. Since the illumination of the material sun and other bodies which also illuminate is denied, it means that the Lord himself is the illumination. Just as when the sun shines, there is no illumination from stars or the moon. Their similar nature follows after his nature, just as servants follow after the king when he moves. Hot iron follows the burning of fire. Dust follows the wind when it blows. Fire or the wind is the chief instrument in burning or moving. The illuminating power of Brahman is similar. So because he is illuminating, everything else therefore then follows that. So the illumination of anything else is him. And so but in obedience, then that is as their service, then they're shining in that way. The illuminating power of the Lord proves that he has a form which illuminates everything. This can also be shown by inference. The rays of light produce illumination, following the sun. On the other hand, a lamp does not illuminate following another lamp. Since the Lord's form of illumination and dependence on everything else, and dependence of everything else on it is stated in Shruti. Why is it necessary to search further? Shrutesh tu shabda mulatvat. There's no defect because Scripture declares that, and Scripture is the root of all knowledge. Brahma Sutra 2.1.17. So, saying because the Scriptures are saying it, we don't have to look further than that. We don't have to speculate on that. Right? Because why would the speculation be there? What's the importance of the speculation? That's so that we can get some enjoyment out of it. Right? Speculation is for enjoyment. That's its purpose. Right? Contemplation or manana means you're contemplating the various aspects, how to apply something to please Krishna. Right? But speculation means I'm seeing what are the options. Right? Like, it's interesting, I don't know if you use it others, but in America, when they would go searching for gold, you know, in the rivers and stuff like that, the creeks, they call it speculation. You know? Gold speculator is who they were. Because you go, you take the sand, rocks like that, and the water, and you spin it, and then see if you get anything out of it. If not, you throw that, and get the next, and just keep going till you get a few grains. So that's speculation, yes.
Also, it's used in the market when you are not sure whether it will be successful, the trade, but you still do it.
Yeah, yeah. You speculate, maybe it'll work, maybe you work. So this whole point is the speculation means that you're contemplating what are the options and seeing how it could go, trying it, applying it. But the purpose is sense gratification. You want to enjoy the results of that. So, someone who enjoy the results of what they speculate, say that you speculate and then have something to apply. That'll be the karmi. But for the jnani, the speculation itself is the enjoyment. So if we wonder why do they come up with all these crazy things, because they find it enjoyable.
When you say about speculation implies that if something is uncertain, and when something is uncertain, it's a risk. So then, are they not fearful of that particular risk?
Are they not fearful of the risk? And why would you single them out? I mean, what's the risk? They thought up some idea and it didn't work. What about the karmi? He invests in something and like this and that, and then they decide that they're going to build a highway right where his new house is. So this is the whole point, is that you're looking at it that the logic is the top, but it's happiness is the top. People do things because of happiness, not because of logic. You understand? So logic is their happiness. So they just play with the happiness. Right? And in this case, then we'd look at it that we're looking at it logically, and because we like things to be logical, and that makes us happy when it's logical, then we're looking at, now that we understand this, then they're not being logical, so that would not make them happy, so why would they do it? Right? But the actual point is they think it'll work. Because they haven't heard from Vaishnavas, have they?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bhārūpa satya saṅkalpa. He is effulgent, and his every desire is fulfilled. Chandogya Upanishad 3.14.2. Hiranmaye pare koshe virajam brahma nishkalam taj chubram jyotisham jyotish tad yadatma vido viduhu. The knowers of Atma know the splendorous, pure Lord without parts, who resides in a golden realm. Mundaka Upanishad 2.2.10. Right, because there's no parts, it's variety within his sarup. Does that make sense? It means him and his energies are non-different. Because otherwise, what's the meaning of energetic if there's no energies? And how do you have energy without an energetic? So they're non-different. But there is variety. You can tell the differences between the various aspects. Does that make sense? But we get into the things that if you can put a name on it, then we can categorize, but that's not how it's working. Yes?
Is it like a desire to understand the nature of the soul and the senses of the soul? It would be proper or speculation to draw the similarity. The Lord has no material senses.
Means if you're getting into that, yes. But right now, as you're dealing with the impersonalists, they say the soul doesn't exist, there's only Brahman. So they're not accepting the energies of the Lord. So now we're approaching it from the aspect of establishing that they'll all say that there's light in Brahman. So that means if there's an effulgence in Brahman, that means Brahman must have a form that's producing that effulgence. You don't get light from nothing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. Brahman reveals other things. Brahman is not manifested by anything. Atmanaiva jyoti shaste. Brahman exists by Brahman. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.3.6. Agrihyo nahi grihyate. Not perceived by the senses, he cannot be perceived. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.9.26. Tena suryas tapati tejase dha. Because the Lord, the sun, bright with light, shines. Taittiriya Brahmana 3.12.9. Know that the light of the sun, moon, and fire, which illuminates this universe, is my light. Bhagavad Gita 15.12. Thus it is established that Brahman has a form. Ramanujacharya gives the same explanation in his commentary on Jyotish Charanabhidhanat. Light refers to Brahman because of the mention of Brahman's feet in a previous verse. Brahma Sutra 1.1.24. Right? So that the point is that if we're being logical, there is no light coming from something that doesn't produce light. Right? So if we're going to use our logic in this way, then that means if Brahman is light, that means must mean that's the energy of Brahman. Brahman is producing that light. Right? If you're going to say, no, it's beyond that and all that, then don't go through this speculative process. Because if you can't understand Brahman through your logic, then why are you bothering in the first place and wasting everyone's time? Right? Does that make sense? So, because Shastra is saying these things, we have to accept Shastra. And we have to accept the direct meanings. So we've seen that before, is that's the problem, so they'll use indirect meanings. And because of that, then you can come up with whatever you want. So with the same indirect meanings, you can come up with all kinds of things. What's, what is his name? G.K. Bhattacharya? No? No? Okay. He was sitting in South India with some, I think there was some program going on, I don't remember what the program, but there were all these Brahmins were there. And it's one of those times when they're all sitting around, you know, waiting. Probably, you know, something, they've set things up and you have to wait for the Yajaman, or, you know, there's some interim between. You know, like in the Vedas, then they would discuss, we see in the Vedic scriptures, in the interim they would discuss, like, you know, Bhagavatam, or, well, Bhagavatam was spoken straight, but Mahabharata, and that was spoken in between the parts of the yajna. And then hearing that, then Suta Goswami then spoke that too. The sages at Naimisharananya. So he's there, and then somehow they get into some fun. I can't say all the details, but basically there's some famous verse about Ganesh. Everybody knows it. It's a standard Hindu Ganesh, you know, prayer. And so it's talking about, you know, Ganesh and his you know, carrier and all these things like that. So then they went around the room one by one, coming up with different ways to mean it. You know, so he brings joy and everything like that. Ganesh and that, he brings joy. So one of them was saying that by how you broke the words, that he was saying that it's talking about the dobi. Because, you know, I think it's, yeah, because the dobi is bringing the clothes. Right? And now they're all nice and clean, so they're white like yogurt, something like that, and it's being brought on the back of the donkey. Right? So after they have a laugh with that, then someone else does something else, and they just went on like this. And then finally at the end, one guy, I guess one of the senior ones, and he said, he was saying that, no, the shloka is about dahiwada. You know, that the dahi wada with the white on the top and all that, you know, the yogurt and all that and all the different things. And then when they bring that to you, you become extremely happy. Does that make sense? So they were taking one thing and just playing with it. So that's all they're doing, the Mayavadis. They're just playing. And it makes them happy. Because, I mean, they you know, God knows they don't have anything else, right? So, yeah.
They would probably play also with the Shastra, which explains the Brahman in a similar way, right?
They just speculate, that's all. They just speculate, yes.
But they like logic, but they don't accept the logic that light comes from something.
They'll say that that's material, so then spiritual has to be beyond that. But if it's and if they and their conditioning are material, they can't understand it. So why are they even coming up with philosophy? Because according to them, there's just nothing. So why are they even talking?
They say this logic is material, is not spiritual.
They'll say everything's material. Everything's material. So then the difficulty comes is they're happy to use the material to establish their position. But if someone shows that their position isn't very solid, then they'll say, oh, it's beyond that. It's transcendental. You can't understand. It's one of those.
So you cannot use your logic for understanding. They say that you cannot use your logic for understanding their position.
They're saying you can't understand the Lord by logic, because you can't understand by words or anything. It's beyond. But at the same time is that you have the aspect of that they're going to happily use their logic to try to discuss it. See, is we have to be very clear. Is it okay? Let's try another approach. Can we list, from, you know, all of history, right, in the Western history and all that, any materialist who was happy? Can we give a name? We can give someone who's rich, who's powerful, who's famous, like that, who was a good warrior, a good scholar, a good manager, a good businessman, you know, a terrible person. You know, all these things we can list, but can we list someone who was happy? Happy, satisfied, the life was perfect. Everything, material world was working out for them perfectly, consistently. Can we? No. Okay, so that means at this moment now, you have 7 billion people who are going on the principle that I can be happy. And there is no case in history to show and prove that it's correct. Right? But are they making their endeavor? Are the karmis making their endeavor to be happy? It's not a trick question. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So, therefore, is it not foolish? Yes. So, therefore, we also have to accept that the jnani is speculating for pleasure, which no one's ever gained, right, is also foolish. So we have to give up the idea that there is a way to logically, you know, on the material platform, to explain why they're doing what they're doing. It's simply, I'm the controller and enjoyer. They want to enjoy God and God's creation, which are non-different from Him. And that's it. Every living entity in the material world wants to do that. And no living entity wants to do that in the spiritual world. So it's not going to work out. We have to give up the thing that because it's intellectual, therefore it's respectable, so it must be okay. That's like saying the rich man is happy.
Yeah. Okay, let's say as a goal, he will not be happy. He gets some happiness while this process, otherwise he wouldn't be doing it.
Yes,
if
of course.
If the process will be completely miserable, he'll do something else.
Yes.
The process means to give some happiness while he was doing it.
Yes. Yes. And so what is the point you want to make?
Well, there is some happiness while he's doing that now, not... There's other point with...
Yes, but the point is he satisfied with that little bit of happiness? Is the material satisfied with their little bit of happiness?
They must be, otherwise why are they doing it?
They want more.
Then why is it they're endeavoring for more? Why is it what they did yesterday they won't do today? Like if you go to the restaurant and order something on the menu and eat it and it made you happy, then... will you go back to that same restaurant tomorrow? Will you order the same thing? Okay. What about your wife? Will you be able to go back to that same restaurant?
I was working for 1 year in a restaurant and I saw the same people coming every day in the same restaurant eating the same food for a year.
Prashad.
Yeah. Maybe because of that.
Maybe. See, is that basically a start like this. This discussion here has a value, and only has a value if we're starting from the principle that we have faith that no other process than pure devotional service will satisfy the living entity, because nothing else other than that will satisfy Krishna. And that by performing pure devotional service, the benefits of all other religious processes are contained within devotional service. You don't require anything outside of devotional service to function. If you have that faith, these discussions have a meaning. If you don't have that faith, we would ask you to stop asking questions. Why? Because this is not a forum for speculation for your fun. We're trying to understand what Jiva Goswami is saying here. And so just because, yes, you can take anything and spin it and make it into anything else, and that's great fun, that doesn't mean that you're getting one step closer to understanding what Jiva Goswami is saying. Because you're taking something out of context. And then, you know, I was mentioning something in a cultural context of the nature of the living entity and their need for variety. And you're not looking at it that. You just see people are coming into the restaurant and eating. They're eating the same thing because there's a good chance that's all you cook. You don't have a variety. It's in a buffet and they just come and take it because that's all there is. But if you had a menu, you'd see they'd be trying different things. You know, and they're not always coming to your restaurant. They're going to other places. They're doing other things. And so what you're doing is part of that. So unless you're trying to catch that, and it's just a matter of, oh, he said that, but I can find out a way that it means something else, we don't need to discuss the Sandarbhas. You know, we should be discussing Bhagavad Gita. Literally. So we have to understand is that these kind of things, yes, you can always do that. That's what the Mayavadis are doing, and that's why he's spending so much time to get this. But did we catch the point that you can't have light without substance, and we're convinced of that? And if not, then that means this, shutes tu shabda mulatvat. There's no defect because Scripture declares it, and Scripture is the root of all knowledge. Brahma Sutra 2.1.17. That's Vyasadeva. And if we're not accepting that, then why are we in this discussion? Right? This discussion is about how to understand the Mayavadis and how to go beyond their dealings. Because these are the fine points that they're making. And so if we just want to prove how, oh, well, you could look at it like that, this is not a game. We're not here because, oh, hey, I can think of something else. Whatever you say, I can spin it. I remember in 7th grade, it was like, I remember, it's that you'd be talking and in a conversation with anybody else in the school, that the fun was, is, and you know, whatever word had a different context than the one that they were using, you'd spin it into that. And literally every third word you could spin. And I remember doing that, 7th grade, that's what you spent your time doing. Because you figured out, you know, by 7th grade you figured out words have multiple meanings. And so it was just, that was the fun. Whatever they said, you turned it into something else. Wow, check that out. So if we want to be speculators, then we will not understand how the Mayavadis doing the same exact thing are wrong. So that's the whole point, is that we have to go on this principle. It's not that it's blind and all that. It means that you have to be able to function at a level of logic that understands this. And so that's why is the Shastra mentioning that he's light and at the same time mentioning all these other aspects. They don't just say he's light and that's it. They say he's light and all these other things function because of his direction. Right? Does this make sense? So, therefore, then what is the point they're getting at? So we see, discussing on this technical level, then the impersonalists will understand. As we see, Lord Chaitanya spoke to Prakashananda Saraswati. They catch it because they will function according to Shastra. They accept Shastra. But if for us it doesn't really mean anything, then what's the point? So you're trying to get that point between we're covered by illusion, Brahman is not. So that means then what are we covered by? Because if we're Brahman, then the whole point is how are we in illusion? So we're covered by illusion. Right? So the point is we're covered by illusion because we're infinitesimal. And the Lord can't be because he's unlimited. But they'll say, well, this illusion is there. And so therefore you can cover, Brahman being covered by that illusion, then it manifests as parts, as jivas. But the problem is then where does that energy come from? Right? Where does this illusion come from? And so if all there is Brahman, that means the illusion has to come from Brahman. But they don't like it. Brahman can't transform. So then they'll just, you know, just say it happens. But nothing just happens. So we're showing that they're illogical. And so granted, maybe, you know, because many faces come and go, so the particular general mood that there is right now, you try to give an example that might work, and if it doesn't work for the individual, then you could, yes, on the individual basis, go through it, and after some time figure out what examples will work. But there's also the point of, us trying to apply it, seeing the principles there, and trying to apply it into our situation, rather than, unless I say the exact word and exact situation. You know, it's like, I remember one kid, If I said, you're thinking now about going to the temple, and he'll say, no. Because those weren't the exact words and order of words in his mind. He was going, yeah, maybe it would be good to go to the temple. That was what he was thinking. But so I said, you're thinking about going to the temple. But he was thinking, no, maybe it would be good to go to the temple. Because of that difference in the word maybe, I was not understanding what he was thinking in his mind, and he was really, really dead set about that. And so if you wanted to go through that, it was an hour discussion before he finally accepted, okay, so I'm thinking about going to the temple, and maybe I should go to the temple, because, you know, I'm thinking about going, but maybe I should. That all that means the same thing. It has the same context. After an hour of discussion, then he would accept it. Like that. Unfortunately, who has an hour to waste on that? Right? Because the person does not want to understand. So there must be the endeavor to try to apply it, to try to make it work. Otherwise, then, this is so technically, the points that are being made here, it's not just taking any word. It's very specific points that are being made. It's very subtle points. So then the difficulty will come up is that we won't get anything from this conversation. Okay. The verse mentioning Brahman's feet is this. Etavan asya mahima tato jaya gams chapu purushaha paro sya sarva bhutani tripadasyam maritam divi. Such is the greatness of Gayatri. Greater than this is the Lord. All entities are one of his feet. His three feet are nectar in the sky. Chandogya Upanishad 3:12-6. Right, so it's mentioned about the Lord. The living entities are of one of his feet. Right. So the greatness of Gayatri, because from the Gayatri then has come the Vedic literature. The Lord is described. Vedaham etam purusham mahantam adityavarnam tamasaf parastat. Interesting. These are like straight out of Purusha Shukta. I know that great person shining like the sun beyond darkness. Sreta Pataru Upanishad 3:8. This shows that his light is not material. Yeah, see, is that you're giving an example to try to prove something, but we have to be trying to understand what is being proved. The example is just given to a support. And so the example will never be exactly perfect because you're trying to explain something transcendental through something that's in the context of someone's experience. And so that's always going to be the weakness, because if the example given isn't within the context of someone's experience, then they won't know, then that example won't work. You know, that's the whole point. So, you know, if we're looking at it, that yes, I as a man, I could, you know, I like something, I could eat it every day, day in, day out, and all that. Okay, great. Then one, we'll have to see is if you actually eat it for your whole life to be able to check this out. But two is when you look around you and generally what's there, and the point is in the social context, why are there so many restaurants? Means do men need so many restaurants? Would there be so many restaurants if there were only men? No women, only men. Right? I mean, like, what do you call it? Mad Max is happy with a lizard. Literally. Right? So that's the whole thing. It's not about that. It means the whole society and the whole... All the variety is theirs because there's women. You know. End discussion. There's no women, then what do they need? Right? So, therefore... Then all this variety is there, you see, in the social environment because people need that variety. And you see is that, anyway, in taste, then you have that variety that works. Because you may say, oh, okay, I'll eat that thing and the one thing, but then as far as doing other things, will you do everything exactly the same or there's some variety? Sometimes you clean out the garage, sometimes you tinker with the car, sometimes you'll mow the backyard, sometimes you go and, you know, hack a branch off a tree, sometimes you go, clean the drains, you know, in the gutters on the roof. You know, so all these things are going on. So we're not doing exactly the same thing every day. So that's there. And even if we say we're doing the exact same everything every day, what's the Western name for this? It's called the rat race. You know? The rut. You know, it's just the same thing, never changes. Like that. So we have to see is that it means we love the rut, and that's why we, you know, are, you know, that's what we, that's why no one's looking for anything more. Right? That's the thing we have to see. So if that's there, then you have to see is the point being made is what we should be trying to understand, rather than simply find fault in the example. We don't understand that, then we can say is then we bring out what's the point? What is the point there? Rather than, oh, I found something with the example. That's there, it's fair enough. Like that. And so then the difficulty comes up is that are we trying to apply it? Or are we just playing with the words? Like that. This shows that his light is not material. By this one can define the real meaning of the word jyoti, light. The following Shruti statements are given by Madhva as proof that the Lord has qualities. Shamach chabalam prapadye. Surrendering to the dark blue Lord, I surrender to his variegated qualities. Chandogya Upanishad 8.13.1. Suvarna Jyotihi. The Lord has a golden effulgence. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.10.7. Tasya hai tasya chatvari rupani shuklam raktam rauk mam krishnam. The Lord has four forms, white, red, gold, and black. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.10.6. Yada pashya pashyate rukma varnam kartaram isham purusham brahma yonim niranjana paramam samyam upaiti. When the observer sees the golden person, the cause, the agent, the Lord, the source of Brahman, the person being pure attains a form similar to the Supreme Lord. Mundaka Upanishad 3.13. Right, so then you've been talking about the Lord. He is that Brahma Jyoti, and we see it's always talking in the context of a person. Even if it's talking the impersonal, it'll be talking about how he is seeing even though he doesn't have eyes. Or he's walking even though he doesn't have feet. But it's still about activities and consciousness and being aware and everything like that. So, therefore, then you see this is that one attains a similar form to the Lord. So, that means then the Lord must be a person. And that person has an effulgence. Right? So even in Brahman, what we're experiencing of that effulgence, that is the Shakti aspect of Brahman. Right? But the Shakti is based on the Shakti Man, so they're non-different. Sa'aikshata, the Lord glanced, Taittiriya Upanishad 1.1.1. Sarve nime sha jagire vidyuta purushad adhi. All devatas were created from the Shining Lord, Mahanarayana Upanishad 1.8. Nachakshusha pashyati rupam asya. One cannot see the form of the Lord by the material eye. Mahanarayana Upanishad 1.11. Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vrinute tanum svam. The Lord is attained by the person whom the Lord chooses. He reveals his own form to that person. Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3. We describe the Lord endowed with limbs, subsections, mind, and intelligence. He has intelligence, mind, limbs, and subsections. Prakashasvach chavai yartyat. The form of Brahman is not useless, as in the case of the sun. Brahma Sutra 3.2.15. Rupo pan yasach cha. And the two passages indicate the Lord because of other passages which specifically describe the form of Lord using the same description. Brahma Sutra 1.2.23. The words Pashyate, Vrinute, Lakshya, Mahe and the above quotations are contradictory to the statement that the Lord has no hands or feet. Thus it cannot be taken literally that the Lord has no hands, feet, or form. Because you see, he's always doing those things that would require that. Right? He's doing activities that would require that. And they're saying he's doing that. So it's Upanishad. It's scripture. It must be correct. So therefore, then, and it's talking about as a person, you can attain that same position, that same form. All these different things are mentioned. So then you have to come across that it means there's no material form. He has a spiritual form. One should not think the descriptions of seeing are just imaginary. Even Shankara says, quote, an illusory thing can be the object of vision, says the action of seeing can be imaginary. But it is seen in this world that a real entity is the object of real seeing. Right? So if you're actually seeing, you're seeing properly. Right? You can imagine all kinds of things that are not seeing. So the point is, if we're saying Brahman is substance, that means you have to be able to perceive that with substance. You can't perceive it with illusion. Sharire Kabhashya 1.3.13. Seeing objects as they are explained elsewhere also. Drishta evat manishvara. The Lord is seen in the Atma. Mandukya Upanishad 2.2. This is not contrary to statements like, quote, Brahman has no hands or legs or no form. By establishing that Brahman has Shakti arising from his Sarup, it is concluded that these Shaktis are eternal. Saravara Yukta Shaktibhir Devatasya. The Lord is endowed with all Shaktis. Chaturveda Shika. The Sarupa Brahman is also eternal. Shashvatatma. The Lord is eternal. Thus, when it says that the Lord chooses his object of mercy, it is not a figurative statement, a real action. So the Lord being transcendental, when he chooses his point of mercy, then that will be then in connection with the living entity, so it's real. So it's not that the living entity is illusion, the process of giving mercy is illusion, or the Lord is illusion. Examples are given in Shruti and Smriti. Yatra nanyat pashyati. One does not see anything else except Brahman, Chandogya Upanishad. Thus, material logic, which will equate the Lord with material objects, is rejected, since the Lord is completely different and is beyond time. This is also stated in scriptures. Shastaryonitvat. The Lord cannot be known by reasoning, because the source of understanding the Lord is the Upanishads. Brahma Sutra 1.1.3. Vriti. Having established that Brahman has a form, next another misconception is addressed. The Mayavadis put forward another argument that says, Brahman, quote, Brahman originally is formless, but sometimes becomes manifest with a visible form in the material world, end quote. Srila Jiva Goswami refutes this statement by pointing out the fallacy in their argument that Brahman cannot have two different categories, with form and without form, because Brahman is single substratum. Hence, the statements of Shruti referring to Brahman having no form should mean that Brahman has no material form, possesses only a spiritual form, which is beyond any mundane defects. The idea that Brahman is originally formless and invisible, and sometimes becomes manifest with a visible form, is also rejected. Brahman does not have two forms of invisible and visible. Brahman is not two objects with form without form, because then you're saying Brahman has two platforms, because if you're saying Brahman comes in this way, then the problem comes is now Brahman is dual. Right? And if the living entities become Brahman, but you're still as an individual, then again Brahman's dual. And then if there's Brahman and illusion, then that's also a dualistic understanding. So their whole problem is they're saying that they're claiming everything's one, everything's Brahman, but they don't actually believe that at all. Because they're always saying that there's Brahman and then there's all these other things that aren't Brahman. So they don't actually believe that everything's Brahman. Because the point is that everything's Brahman means everything's Krishna. And Krishna has all his energies, and these energies have their substratums and everything. So you have the internal, external, and jivas. Right? Then he and his features, he has Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman. So like that, you have all this variety within the Surupa of the Lord, within the form of the Lord, the nature of the Lord. So that's oneness. But they're taking it because they say, it's more than one thing. I can identify, so it's two things. But can you say it's two things? You have this water pot. And then here you have the body here, and you have the spout, and you have the handle, and you have the lid, and you have the stand. So does that mean it's not one pot? You know, so that's their logic. They're saying, no, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different things. Right? And so the actual pot is something beyond. You can't understand it. It's this and that. So this has, so it's not actually a pot. So that's the problem. They claiming to be exclusive oneness, they're not actually understand oneness at all. It's all Krishna. Yeah. Brahman cannot have both conditions because it is a single substratum. The form of the Lord cannot also be some whimsical, optional state, since opinion options being faulty are impossible in Brahman. Right? So it's not an option, it's an inherent nature. This is like the 8 faults and optional actions, which are mentioned in Scripture, footnote 22. Scripture mentions that one should perform sacrifice using barley. Scripture also says one should use rice. Thus, there are 2 options. In whimsically choosing barley, one must take that statement as authority. One must reject the authority of the statement to use rice. One must completely ignore the statement about rice. Or one must interpret it beyond reasonable limits. In choosing rice for sacrifice, the same 4 faults would be present. Right? So you're whimsically choosing, then you have to take that statement's authority, one must reject the other one. And one must therefore you would just ignore the other one. So those are 4 faults. So the whole point is how does that work together? Because you see is that in the yajna, they use all of those things. These guys. Does that make sense? Yes.
The difficulty seems to be is that for many, duality is a part of variety. So what would be the core difference between those two? How can we discriminate when it's duality or when it's variety? Because sometimes it seems exact same thing.
Again, someone has something that they, recreation. So for some person, that would be sports. So is there not a variety within sports?
Yes, there is.
Yeah. But it's still sports.
Right.
You know? Does that make sense? They're not sitting around like crocheting or something. You know, extreme crochet. You know, like that. No. You understand? It's like, how do you say? Parachuting out of, the plane at 70,000 feet, and then trying to make your crochet hat, the crochet doily before you reach the ground. Yeah, so you can't pull your ripcord until you finish the doily. Yeah. That's extreme crochet. Yeah. So it'll be within that, anything within that. Let's say someone's a petrol head, so it'll always be something to do with some kind of cars. Or vehicles that have motors in them that use petrol. Or let's say someone's into food. So it'll be varieties within food, but it's all food. So there's always that substratum. So there's variety within the context. So that means you already have that. So by Satkaryavad, the causes and the effect. Right? So that means why does food have variety, but it's still all food? right? And then you can take another category. So now, at the same time, it's all then by the same principle, all those categories go back into an origin. So that means the origin has everything, but at the same time has all that variety. It's one thing, but it has that variety. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what we're dealing with, is to be able to catch. You know, in other words, you're going from the best point is you're going from the gross and subtle, you're going back to the metaphysical. And from that, then trying to access the spiritual and transcendental. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the problem is when we just stay on the external platform, then it won't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, because like the restaurant thing, we just went by the what we perceive with the senses. But we didn't go by the emotional things there, or by the metaphysical aspects that are there.
Yeah.
Right? Or by the thing that Krishna is variety, and his pastimes are going on in variety, and that energy means variety. You know, and Krishna has these unlimited differences. So we're ignoring all that. So then we're not moving forward. We're not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So generally on this level you use more the metaphysical. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so because it has that broader range, that it's one thing, but it has all the variety. Like if you take the principle of dog, like dogness, right? And doghood, you'll see that in all dogs. Right? But then there'll be some uniquenesses between all the varieties of dogs. You know, one's bigger, one's smaller, one slobbers more, one slobbers less, but they all will slobber. You know? Does that make sense? They all bark. They all wag the tail, you know. So there's certain things they will do because that's just what makes them a dog. But at the same time, it doesn't mean there's not variety within the dogs. You know, saying you know something's very peaceful, something's high strung. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to be able to accept that variety that we're seeing here. Now, if we're perceiving that from understanding the scriptures, right, and the scriptures are talking about the transcendental, then why is it that we can't see that transcendental position? Why can't we see that? Right? We have to endeavor for that. So when it's talking in that way, it's talking about that aspect. It is giving us examples with something that, therefore, then trying to use that, we can get an understanding. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why then Shankya is given, so that you can appreciate the metaphysical. You know, earth has a nature, so wherever it is, in whatever form, it will still have that earthly nature. Water will have its nature. Fire, the senses will have their nature. Right? Does that make sense? You know, the different planetary systems, they'll have their nature. The demigods, the demons, the humans, they'll have their nature. And so that's because that's part of the primary creation. That's the metaphysical platform. So it's all the same. Now, where does all that come from? It all comes from the Lord. Because we'll say, okay, well, that comes from the variety of the pradhan. But pradhan means it's homogeneous. It's avyakta. So why is it separating? Because of the glance of the Lord. So the Lord has entered it as the false ego, as time, as the living entities. And so because of that, then time agitating, then everything separates, everything then becomes whatever it is. But it's still the Lord pervading it, because it's his energy. And so then where's the source of pradhan? So now pradhan goes back to the Lord. Then he is one entity, can have all that variety in himself. And then he can manifest that as pradhan, and that then becomes the mahatattva, that becomes the individual universes. So all that variety, all that differences, on every level, they are all different, but all one. And then you can take, your different categories of let's say, then we're saying, like we said, sports or like that. Then you can take, activities that would just be, casual. You know, they're not work. They're not your occupation, how you make your money. So
recreation.
It's just...
Recreation?
Recreation or time passing the time. You know, they say time pass. You know, sit around, eat some biscuits or something. You know, so... Then you'd have all kinds of things. That can include reading, can include, you know, doing all kinds of things, all the different arts and different aspects like that, which wouldn't be counted as let's say, sports. You know, so each one of those can go back into a bigger thing, and that goes back into that, and then you can say, okay, well, I have my life, you know, my life itself, I have my work, and I have, you know, in this case, the recreation, right? So I have my, you know, does that make sense? And so, but all those are part of one thing is the individual and their duties and how they apply. Right? And then why is that? Because of humans. And so humans all have that nature that they can all be engaged in these things. Right? And so, and then what's that? Where does that nature come from? So that comes from all the different species of life, so you have your different levels of consciousness. So then it goes back to the, you know, original supreme consciousness. That they as a person, then they have their way of doing things, and then others can then follow that, or they can distort it according to the modes. Does that make sense? So it always folds back. So that's why it says the cause of all causes, because everything has a cause. And then you can keep, you have the cause of that keeps going, but he's the cause by which all other causes come. That's what makes him different. For us, we only deal with energy. Energy always has a cause. So we can just keep going, ad infinitum? Ad or odd? Huh? Ad infinitum. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that, but for it to be there, that means there must be a source. It can't just go on eternally, because that's not going to work. Right? There has to be a source. So that means that point where the source is, that's the origin. Right? It's logic. If there's, you know, energy, it has sources, there must be an energetic. And each energy has something that goes back. So, you know, depending upon what path you're taking, then it, you know, it can go all over the place. You know, you can take we have this light bulb. Okay, why does it work? Because the electricity. You know, why does the electricity work? And then you can take it back to get the generator. Okay. And that, they're there. But why is there a generator? Right? Because people want electricity. So why would we, people want so many things. So why are we making it available? Right? You know, either we're looking at it from governance, you know, that we're creating facilities like this. But at the same time, it's a matter of economics. Right, so if it economically doesn't work, they're not going to make it available. Right, and so then you have the economic aspect. What's the economics for? It's like, you know, because people want facility, you know, and so what do they want the facility for? It's become they want to be happy. Right, and so why do they want to be happy? Because that's the nature of the soul. So you can come back, and it goes through so many different things. We're going through electronics, then we're going through economics, then we're going through, you know, whole social lifestyle and everything, then we're getting back to the soul itself. And then you're asking, where's that? Then that'll go back to the Lord. I really like doing that. It means if it was a cement roof, they wouldn't do that. They do it because it makes noise. Yeah, it's far out, no? Yeah. How you say it? The simple pleasures of life. Running on the roof of a tin building, so they're a tin roof, so it, what do you call it? Makes so much noise. Does that work?
Yeah.
Thus, shrutis which indicate that Brahman has form are true and decisive. What is the purport of statements about formless Brahman? Since there are statements about Brahman with no form, and with form in shruti, the statements of formless Brahman, since they are weaker, are secondary to the statements about form. Formless Brahman is the ornament of Brahman with form. The form is different from material form. having the six qualities such as Aishwarya. Right? So that there is Shakti and all that, or that there's this aspect of Brahman, that there's this effulgence or the eternal aspect, and that's very nice, but it's an ornament of someone. It's just like, let's say, someone lives forever. That's an ornament of the person. It's not that the living forever is the main thing, and the person doesn't disappears in this eternalness. You can do that, but then what is it, what's the relationship to us? What do we get from that? So that makes sense. When Brahman becomes merely self-revealing by the manifestation of the Shroop Shakti, then Brahman appears to be formless, since it is not visible with form to the eye. Therefore, the one form is different from visible and invisible, or gross and subtle forms. That is the meaning of Vedanta for the Vaishnavas. Right, so he's self-revealing through the Shroop Shakti, is that it's impersonal because you can't see him with the material. Even though he's pervading everything, you can't see him with the senses. Does that make sense? It means we look at the wall, we'll see a wall. That's all the senses can perceive. But with training, we can see from that, as we understand the wall, it's there for whatever purposes that we're going to start with, that potency is Krishna. For looking at the strength of the wall, or protection, or the economic aspect, or whatever it is we want to look at, then that all goes back to Krishna. Right? And so then you can see Krishna from that, because he's the strength of the wall. He's the effectiveness of the wall. He's the one that does all this. So then you can see, because of the association of the Vaishnavas, then one can see that. But one's not seeing that with, that's what it says, he can't be seen, but he's seen. You can't see him, but you can see him. Right? Because if you look at the wall, you don't see Krishna. But if you look at the wall with the knowledge given by Guru Sadhu and Shastra, then you see Krishna. So it's not with the senses that you, what you, how you see. You know, senses are working, but you're able to see its connection to Krishna. So everything's Krishna, you're always with Krishna. So, yes?
So would it be correct to say that if we see Brahman in everything, and everything within Brahman, then we see variety. And as soon as we start seeing something separate from Brahman, then it's duality.
Yes, yes. Because that's the whole point, is that where we say it's one, they'll say it's different. Where we'll say it's different, they'll say it's one. Like we'll say the Lord and his energies are one, and they'll say, no, those are different. And we'll say the Lord and the Jiva are different, and they'll say, no, they're one. So that's the problem, is that they claim they're monists, but they'll also half of the time be talking about, you know, things not being so, you know, oneness. So the point is when you see everything's Krishna's, everything is Krishna's entered everything, but at the same time he is the person that's separate. Then because of that ability of the Chitta Veda Veda Tattva, then in everything you can see the person. It'll remind you of the person, your relationship with the person. You can function in that capacity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the point of that. Otherwise, then you see it's different, but then the point is to know it's all Krishna. So as soon as you see it's different, it's illusion. It's the same. But there's variety. Because what the mundane concept, if it's impersonal, means it just means there's nothing there. Because as soon as you can give a quality to it, then they'll say it's not actually explaining. You know, if you say Brahman is unlimited, then unlimited being a term, then they'll say it's actually beyond that. But then what is it? You know, they're unable to actually define. There's just this feeling. So it's just a feeling for them. You know, just like the guy has this feeling about his life, you know, what he wants to be.
Yeah, I was thinking, if it's not physical, if it's not verbal, then it's just it's an emotion. It's just how you feel about it.
Yes, it's just a feeling. Because you have to understand, when you're dealing with sound, then the root, the primeval nod, that's just the feeling of something. There's a feeling of something. And then the feeling's there first, and then it starts to take shape. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's how you say Dwadasi morning. So there's a feeling there. You know, and then it starts to take shape as a particular, you know, as food, and then as a particular kind of food, and then, you know, it just gets more and more detail. But it starts as a feeling. Like that, a concept. So that's always, and then like that goes up through the chakras until you say what you want. You know? Like that, you know. Is that something?
Yeah.
Okay, so end here. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Nityai Govinda Premananda Ki.